Good afternoon, everyone. It is a real joy to be with all of you, whether you are participating here in person or watching online or through EWTN. In July, Archbishop Christophe Pierre called and left a voicemail for me, which began, "Hello, Bishop Malesic. This is Archbishop Christophe Pierre, Apostolic Nuncio of the United States. As if I did not know who you were, Archbishop." And then he went on to ask that I call him back to discuss some matters, which I did reluctantly. We exchanged some pleasantries, and then he asked me a question. "Do you remember that question, Archbishop?" "I do." "You asked, how's your health?" I knew then that what he was going to tell me might make my heart flutter a bit, or that I might faint. And I said, "My health is good." Maybe I should not have said that. Because then he said, "The Holy Father has appointed you to the Diocese of Cleveland." I could not help myself, and I said, "It's cold there." Anyone who knows me knows that I prefer palm trees over pine trees. But as a missionary disciple of Jesus Christ, trusting in his holy will for me, I said yes, and I'm glad I did. I am happy to be here with all of you today as the 12th bishop of the Diocese of Cleveland and its 8 counties in northeastern Ohio. We all know that this cathedral is not as full as it would have been in more normal times. Archbishop Perez, I was at your installation here 3 years ago. I remember the multiple choirs, the people in the traditional clothes of their ethnic background, the packed church with all the clergy and representatives of each of the parishes, with members of the civic, business, and ecumenical communities. To be honest, I'm a bit jealous that I can't have that as a part of this celebration today. The limitations placed on us by this pandemic will not permit it. But I look out at this socially distanced congregation, and I know that the Holy Spirit is still filling every nook and cranny of this beautiful cathedral, the Mother Church of our diocese. And I also believe that the Holy Spirit is filling the hearts of every person watching this celebration from a distance in your homes and offices. I also realize that it was not possible to have a real farewell for you, Archbishop Perez, because you had to take leave of us so quickly for Philadelphia. You served this diocese so well and so faithfully. So I want you to know, Archbishop Perez, that all of us here still love you, care for you, pray for you, and are very grateful for your uplifting ministry for the 2.5 years you served as our bishop. Thank you. Pray that I get to stay here a bit longer than you did. 15 years would be just fine, Archbishop Pierre. If you could pass that along to the Holy Father, I'd be appreciative. Let me also make a shout out to Father Donald Alexiak, who was elected by the College of Consultors to serve as the diocesan administrator until a new bishop was named to succeed Bishop, now Archbishop Perez. Father Alexiak, you have been so kind and welcoming to me. Thank you for that. Father, you have led this local church so faithfully and so well since February, and I know it was not always easy. We are all grateful for your hard work, pastoral sensitivity, and love for the Diocese of Cleveland. Your work as our diocesan administrator is now finished. Perhaps that's why you are the one who is smiling the most in this cathedral today. Thank you. I'll say that this is a kind of homecoming for me in two ways. First, many years ago, I was a seminarian for 6 years in Columbus, Ohio, at the Pontifical College Josephinum. That's where I first learned that Pepsi is pop and not soda. Anyway, it's good to be back in the Buckeye State. I will now call Ohio my home again as I become a member of the Diocese of Cleveland with all of you. And I truly believe that. I am also a member of this 8-county church, like all of you, serving in the ministry of bishop. The rector of the cathedral, Father Sean Ralph, will be happy to know that I signed up for online giving to this cathedral parish, of which I am now its parishioner as well as its bishop. The second way that this is a type of homecoming for me comes from the name of this cathedral church. The parish of my youth, a German national parish just outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, shared the same name, St. John the Evangelist. It was the place where I was baptized, learned the basics of the faith, received my first Holy Communion, was confirmed, confessed my sins, and celebrated my first Mass of Thanksgiving as a newly ordained priest. It was there in that same parish church, St. John the Evangelist, as a college biology major, that God began to call me to the priesthood through the parish priest who was inspired to ask me the question, "Ed, did you ever think of becoming a priest?" And I had never thought of becoming a priest until that day when he asked me. And now, nearly 40 years later, I'm so glad my pastor asked me that question, because God would not let go of me until I answered his call to the priesthood. In fact, God still hasn't let go of me. I guess that's why I'm here today. I want to give some advice to our young people now. Listen to your heart, the place where God speaks to you. Listen carefully, because he is calling each of you by name. God has a plan for you. You are on this planet for a reason. Do not stop searching until you find God's will for you. He is calling you to a life of holiness, to discipleship, to service, and to do something special for him. Follow Jesus. He will show you the way. Let me tell all of you, and you may have already heard this, when Archbishop Perez called me shortly after he knew that I would be his successor in Cleveland, the first words he said to me were, "Lucky you." And I have already begun to realize just how blessed I am to be the next Bishop of Cleveland. Lucky me. There were two other words that Archbishop Perez said to me. Cleveland rocks. I agree. Today's installation mass reminds me of the installation mass of a bishop that I attended a few years ago. At the exact time the liturgy was supposed to start, the bishop who was to be installed came up to the doors of the cathedral which were closed. He knocked on the cathedral doors, and the person inside opened up the door just a crack and said to the bishop with his microphone still on, "Bishop, we're not ready for you yet." And then he closed the door on the bishop. Well, ready or not, I'm here. And thanks for opening the doors for me. Thanks for opening your hearts for me. I already feel so welcomed in this diocese with its rich history, culture, and faith. Bishops Pilla, Greece, and Amos have all been helpful to me during this transition. And thanks to Archbishop Schnurr, who welcomed me into this cathedral as our Metropolitan Archbishop. The priests, the deacons, and religious men and women that I have met so far or communicated with could not have been kinder to me. And the same is true of the laity, who have welcomed me as a stranger. I hope to become your brother. But you know, with the current restrictions placed on us because of COVID-19, it feels as though I've hit the ground, but I can't quite run yet. That's going to be frustrating for me. But trust me, there will come a time, soon I hope, when we will be able to gather together again in large crowds to meet each other, shake hands, see our unmasked faces, worship as one community in our churches with boisterous singing again, and be with each other again at our festivals. Let's pray for a quick end to this pandemic, which has already gone on way too long. I want to visit each of our parishes as soon as possible. There are 185 of them, so please be patient with me, and I'll get out to our schools, seminaries, other ministries, and religious communities too. Give me some time. Today is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. The feast reminds us of just how central the cross is to our lives as Christians. The cross is more than a decoration on our walls or jewelry around our necks. In the cross, Jesus teaches us how to face our challenges with courage and hope. And boy, do we have challenges these days. Jesus says to us, "Whoever wishes to come after me," that should be all of us, "must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's the cost of discipleship. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Jesus. And in other words, we cannot ignore our challenges, our crosses. No, we must face our challenges, admit them, carry them, but always with our eyes focused on Jesus, the man we follow, the God we follow, who suffered for us and still suffers with us. He will lead us forward in our struggles. It's when we stop that we die. But struggle forward, struggle forward. If we walk in his footsteps, we will always move from death to life. That's the direction of Jesus. That's the direction of the church he founded. That is the direction of all of us who believe in him and follow him, from death to life. Victory in the cross of Christ. We must also help each other to carry our crosses. We must help each other bear the burdens of this life, like Simon of Cyrene, who helped our Lord bear his cross on the way to Calvary. See someone in need, help to carry their cross. We are stronger when we work together than when we work separately. So we will carry today's cross of COVID-19 together with the hope of moving beyond it with the help of God, who deepens our faith despite this pandemic and comforts those who are ill or who have lost their loved ones to this disease. After this pandemic, our church needs to rise again. We need to move out of the tomb towards resurrection, towards new faith, towards deeper faith, to a more vibrant faith. This cross can be a springboard for a renewal of our church. We will carry the nearly unbearable cross of racism and prejudice together with Christ, who leads us away from hatred in his peaceful, nonviolent way. We will not ignore this challenge or pretend that it does not exist. We will carry this cross forward until the sin of racism is put to death by being nailed to the cross with Jesus, who showed his love for all of us, no matter the color of our skin. Nail that sin to the cross, put it to death. It's there on the cross that Jesus wants to give us a new and radically different way of life in our world. Follow the cross. Also, let's pray for our good and outstanding police officers who are carrying the cross of violence in our communities. They carry a heavy cross for all of us. They need our support too. We cannot let a few bad officers define the men and women who strive to keep us safe each and every day. Let's pray in a special way for those who lost their lives recently in the line of duty, especially for Detective James Skernovitz of the Cleveland Police Department, for their families, and for an end to all violence in our communities by anyone. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, the hour of our death. Amen. We also have the cross of abuse in our church. We admit it. We are embarrassed by it. But we are also resolved not to let it diminish our faith in Jesus. No, we will not put down that painful cross, ignore it, or walk away from it. We will carry that cross of shame by helping our victims. And I say to them again, in the name of the entire church, we are sorry for what was allowed to happen to you. We are resolved to make our church, in fact, all of our communities, safer places for all of our kids. By carrying this particular cross forward, and following Jesus, who gathered the children around him and strongly rebuked those who would do harm to his little ones. And we carry the cross of abortion as a nation. It's a tragedy that ends the lives of hundreds of thousands of little ones every year, almost a million. We cannot put that cross down either, ignore it, or pretend it isn't there. We must continue to embrace this challenge to life, pick up that heavy cross, and follow Jesus until each and every human life is respected, nurtured, and loved, whether born or unborn. Both. We are a pro-life church in the broadest sense of the term, because God is the author of all life. All of us have God, who made us in his image. And there are other crosses we carry too, like the cross of poverty in our communities, urban blight, or restrictions to our religious freedoms. And that's hard to carry. Some of our crosses are known only to us as individuals. Illness or addiction, the loss of a relationship, unemployment, being bullied at school, or the stress of living in a world that sometimes seems to have gone mad. Remember how our first reading began? With their patience worn out by the journey. The Israelites were getting tired along the way. Sometimes we get tired too along the way. Sometimes the people of the church get tired. But now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to get up. Now is not the time to be silent. Now is the time to speak up with peace and understanding and compassion and with listening. Now is the time to go out into the world and proclaim that Jesus, God's only Son, humbled himself to become one of us and was obedient to God even unto death, death on a cross. Look at that cross. He did that for us and told us to do the same, to give our lives to each other like he gave his life to us. God loved us enough to send us his Son who died for us. And then God exalted him by raising him up and giving him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We bow before him, not to any human being, but him. Him. Let's be witnesses to this truth. Let's all be witnesses to the love of God. Let's be witnesses to Jesus who saves us. Let's be witnesses to the power of his cross in our lives. Let's be people who serve the Lord with gladness. More happiness, less complaining. I want to finish because perhaps your patience is being worn out by the journey of this long homily. Newly appointed bishops almost always get the same question. What's your vision? It's not my vision that matters. It really doesn't. It's the vision of God for us that matters. And his vision was clearly spelled out today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. That's the plan. That's the vision. That we believe in Jesus so that we might have eternal life and find salvation in him. That salvation comes when we keep our eyes fixed on the cross of Christ, that saving cross of Christ, where he shed his blood and gave his body to redeem us and make us whole again and draw us together as one, as we all look at the same point, the person of Jesus, our Lord, crucified and risen from the dead. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Amen. May God bless you and those you love.